FM. Between the Lines now airs every Tuesday at 1 o'clock p.m. Between the Lines features progressive perspectives on national and international political, economic, and social issues generally ignored or marginalized in corporate media. Tune in Tuesdays at 1 o'clock p.m. for Between the Lines.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. Welcome, welcome. And I am excited today because I get to learn something about the Democratic Socialists of America. And I've been really, you know, I have my guest is Kelly Adams. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi there.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for being here. Even though you've got a little injury going, you made it here.
Yes. I finally broken a bone after 51 years of never breaking a bone.
Yeah.
Streak is over.
That's good. That's good.
But at least it's not too bad.
And so. Yeah, at least it's not like a hip.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's something to look forward to later.
I know. The warranty is run out on all my parts.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see where to start. I've lived in Spokane about 21 years now. We moved up here in 2025, which I guess is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. So am I from here now? Is that how that works? I was originally born in Seattle. Kind of moved all over, though. I went to high school in Maine and then a little bit of college in New York and then back to Seattle and then to Knoxville, Tennessee, and then over to Asia for a while. I was in South Korea and Taiwan, and then Nashville, Tennessee, and then Little Rock, Tennessee, where I met my wife, Jackie. And then we decided to move up here in February of 2005 to be closer to my folks. They live down kind of Moscow, Genesee, Idaho area.
Oh, okay.
So
they must have relocated there as they got older.
Yeah. Well, they both went to Wazoo and just really liked the Palouse and always dreamed of moving back there. And they moved back from Maine to Seattle and then moved over to originally an apartment in Moscow, and then they bought like 4 acres out in the middle of 2 wheat fields, and it was considered a homestead, I guess, so they could buy a small amount and put a manufactured home on it. And my mom still lives there. My dad passed July of last year.
But, okay. Well, life is good.
Yeah.
What is the Democratic Socialists of America? What is it?
Well, originally I was not very familiar with it. It was mostly, I was kind of brought to it by my partner. But the important difference, I think, is that it's not a political party.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was a political party. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's more of a, like a political advocacy group.
Okay.
So it's kind of a larger tent, and we can tend to kind of float between different groups. PSL, Party for Socialism and Liberation, they're like an actual party.
Yeah, or there's the Socialist Party.
Or Communist Party of USA.
Right.
So we do a lot of comradely work with those folks because we can find a lot of common cause. But we also do a lot of work with Democrats too, because our view is that we need to use the tools of democracy to set up an economy that benefits everyone and to set up a government that benefits everyone, not just, you know, the rich and elite.
And you get, so like Bernie and AOC, they, Bernie would call himself a democratic socialist, but he's not affiliated with the DSA or anything like that. Right. So, is AOC, I think might be.
She was a DSA member, and I don't remember if she ran as a Democrat or an independent in her race.
Do you find the people that you wind up throwing support behind mostly Democrats or independents, at least around here?
There's not a lot of independents around here.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Most recently, we kind of threw our weight behind Sarah Dixit in her city council bid. And she ran as a Democrat, but she was very progressive. And,
she was kind of the surprise winner, right?
Yeah, it was a close.
Once against Bingle.
Yeah, and it was down to the couple hundred votes.
Yeah, it's funny. I did so much work with Local 29, the union, when I was a firefighter. And they got behind Bingle, I think, because they just figured, well, Bingle's going to win, and we don't want to make this guy mad, right? And then he lost. And it's like, oh my gosh, what a wonderful thing.
Or, it was kind of a
or
coup.
Not wonderful, depending upon what side you're on. Yeah.
It was kind of a coup. I think it had happened in District 1 several years ago. There was kind of an upset like that, and then the pendulum kind of swung back the other way.
Do you think what was just her ground effort, or what kind of did it?
Yeah, I think she did have kind of a strong ground game. Mm-hmm. And I think Bingle kind of rested on his laurels.
Yeah.
She also was involved with a group from the West Side that was supporting POC, LGBTQ folks.
Yeah.
And women specifically. And, and she ticked some of those boxes. So she had some good support as well. And I think she was not afraid to just talk to anybody. We, DSA had a town hall here in the library, actually, that we invited up all the city council candidates, and she was the only one that actually showed up.
Wow.
And it was, we had a panel ask her some questions, and then we opened it up to the public, and it was billed as like a leftist event because we wanted to bring together those folks. And so we had Lilac City Mutual Aid and PJALs and, all the progressive organizations helped us put this on. And she was great. She didn't shy away from any tough questions or anything. I think maybe that came from her work at Planned Parenthood. I think she was used to de-escalation. And
so does the DSA, do they put out like every election like a voter's pamphlet, a voter's guide online type of thing, like these are the candidates we're supporting? Or
we do endorsements. That process is kind of a little bit mystifying to me because it's kind of recently changed. So every 2 years we have a big convention, usually in Chicago. And that's when we pass changes to our, national bylaws that kind of affect all of the different chapters. So our chapter, Spokane DSA, is actually Spokane County, Washington, and Kootenai County, Idaho.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of bridge both, both areas. And so there's a, the endorsement process kind of depends on is it a state race? Is it a federal race?
Yeah.
How visible is it? Which kind of determines how it gets kicked up and where they want to, where they want to put wood behind the arrow.
Yeah. How many folks do you figure are affiliated with the DSA and Spokane DSA?
In Spokane DSA, I think the last I looked, we had 107 members in good standing.
Okay.
Which means that they're up on their dues.
Yeah.
which is good because that number has actually been going up in recent months. COVID was tough.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
It was tough to get together and just people losing money and, you know, dues to be in a political organization, you know, that's kind of the first thing to go, off the budget.
Although I think, like, you know, it's funny because I always think, like, Trump must be, like, the best thing that ever happened to organizations like the Communist Party or Socialist Party. Because, you know, you think about this guy who is probably the poster boy for anti-socialism and anti-communism, I guess. But he's so crooked and such a liar and so dishonorable that I guess I would think there would be people saying, well, I don't know much about socialism, but if that guy is against it, it must be a good thing. You know, I think that there's some people that probably think on that level, you know, because it's just,
That was kind of an interesting thing to tie it back to the Bingle Dixit race. Bingle was invited, but he did not show up to our leftist town hall, but he did do a spot on one of the local news. They interviewed him. And we were in partnership with Communist Party of the USA in doing that. And so their logo was on our thing. And he focused right on that and was like, you know, look, that she's in league with the communists. They killed millions of people, you know.
Well, it is funny because, you know, when people talk about, you know, they want to bring up the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. of course, which is, one would argue that it's that Soviet Union was also a state-run capitalism, mm-hmm. not communism by any means, you know, by democracy. There was no democracy in the workplace. Mm-hmm. There was no mm-hmm. democracy there. So I think that it's pretty funny that when they kind of create these monsters, they never point out like Norway or Sweden.
Or even Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah. Any place, you know, where people have a better life expectancy mm-hmm. and are happier and have jobs and all that. So it's, I think that bugaboo of calling somebody a communist or a socialist is not going to mean much to this generation. Is it mostly skew younger, the DSA, or?
We're trying to get it to skew younger. We definitely have some older folks that are, you know, very worried about Social Security and Medicare and things like that, and feel kind of left in the dark by the Democrats.
Yeah.
They feel like they didn't put up enough of a fight against the, you know, the big, beautiful for billionaires bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're kind of a reason that Kamala didn't win is because they were like, I'm not going to vote at a protest because I don't want to just vote blue no matter who. I want somebody who's going to change it.
Yeah, it's funny that all the things that we kind of took for granted, say, 10 years ago, seem like radical ideas now, mm-hmm. you know, equality, being able to use a restroom in Idaho, things like that, you know, that it's like, man, this country has shifted towards fascism and it's a fascist country now. There's just no arguing. It's not saying, oh, we're on the verge when you have the media capitulating at every given opportunity. You know, it's fascism. There's plain and simple. When people are afraid to speak out because they're going to be hurt, it's fascism.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, fascism is anti-socialism as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting when so many people think that Antifa or the anti-fascist movement is some sort of like terror network.
Yes. It's an organization.
My grandfather fought in World War II. He was a bombardier in B-17s. And
that's my job. Not actually, B-17s.
But. Actually got shot down and spent time in a German POW camp until the end of the war. But, you know, he was proud to be an anti-fascist because that's what the, you know, the rallying cry of the allies was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, we used to have to do Drills, I was part of this team that was with the police where we would have to go in and rescue people in like live shooter type things. So we looked like cops. We'd have all the body armor. We'd go in, but instead we'd be pulling people out and starting IVs and opening airways and all that stuff. But I remember one of the drills the cops had us do was, he's like, okay, this is the drill, you know, we've got a bunch of Antifa people and they've taken hostages.
And, you know, my gosh, yeah, they don't ever mind. They started a chill out tent and they're passing around granola bars. And
yeah. And so I never mind being like, you know, the you know what in the punch bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, are you talking about anti-fascists? Because, man, I had a bunch of relatives went over to Europe to kill a bunch of those people. And as far as I'm concerned, the fascists should have no place here. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. People like that? And everybody got really quiet and the scenario changed. And
funny.
It was like, it's amazing. But it's just one of those things where you see people just wanting to get along, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody speaks up. We don't want to be in trouble. We don't want people to go, oh boy, what was her problem, you know? But instead, you know, you deal with it with humorously and make fun of them. That's where I'm at, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
Was that like a whole deal where they had injured people with the, is it called moulage?
We always just had like dummies. Like dummies that we would drag out and they would be shot and hiding in a room, and we'd have to find them.
My wife was a Navy corpsman, and she did some things like that, some like disaster role play.
Yeah, usually those things. Scenarios. It's funny, the fire department, they'll make dummies out of old hose stuff because they weigh a lot.
Is that why I can't find old fire hoses?
They get used in a lot of ways, you know. So, yeah, they're kind of heavy and cumbersome to drag around and stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah, we never could afford the melange people.
So that is the word, melange. Okay.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I always get that mixed up.
It might be some kind of French bread for all
the or the Disney character.
Melange. Oh, yeah, of course.
The French, Indonesian woman, whatever it is. What? Anyway, gosh, I guess we strayed off topic a little bit.
I think I was introducing myself at some point, and now we're talking about Disney.
Yeah, we're talking about Disney. We're going to come back. I'm going to do my 20-minute after the hour stuff, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you how you got involved, how people can get involved. And well, before we go, people want to find out more about Spokane DSA. How would they do that?
Probably the easiest way is email us at hello@dsaspokane.org. Or you could find our chapter on the national website, which is dsausa.org.
Yeah.
And we can get you on the mailing list, and we have public meetings the first Tuesday of every month, both in person and on Zoom, and we'd love to have people show up. It's open to the public. I mean, you can't obviously vote on things that we're voting on,
right?
But
do you get pretty good participation of people showing up? Or
it's been on the uptick. In fact, I've been trying to find a new spot. We've been meeting at the Spokane Pride headquarters, and they've been gracious enough to give us their space because the library started closing earlier, and then we used to do it at libraries, but now we want to go a little bit later than they're open, and so now I'm trying to find a bigger space because we had people sitting in the hall last time.
Well, so if you have a big space, maybe you can get the Spokane DSA, and I do like the website. They've got great articles and stuff. So we're gonna play a little music as we load up my computer here with other stuff. Okay, here we go.
Well, I'm gonna tell you fascists, you may be surprised. People love is your KYRS live and local calendar for April 27th through the 30th. Monday, John Wayne Williams at Zola and the Mac Movement open mic with No One Is Here at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Corey Aileen at 1919 Wine Cellar, Jameson Sampson, and the All-Star Jam with Jerry and Mars at Zola, and open mic with Nate Dunnigan at the Parlor. Wednesday, PJ Destiny at Iron Horse in the Valley, Rachel Broadhead and Aki Fumikado at Zola, Ogre at the Big Dipper, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Hogwire at the Spokane Tribe Casino, the Dirty Champions at PJ's, the Johnson Brothers Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, open mic with Derek Hart at the Alibi, Francis Brown at Zola, International Jazz Day celebration with Imagine Jazz, Shower with Friends and Others at the Downtown Spokane Central Library, Black Carl at the Red Room, and Terror at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Your radio station, KYRS, actively supports the diversity of the Spokane area, celebrating the many voices that make up our region. Our volunteer-run station hosts a variety of shows that feature otherwise unheard perspectives and opinions. In a sense, KYRS is working against institutional racism, sexism, homophobia, and other forms of oppression simply by existing in opposition to mainstream media. Please make a pledge today by texting Give KYRS to the number 44321. Your support keeps KYRS operating during a time when our community needs free and open media the most.
Okay, we're back, and this is Maeve. You're listening to Out and About, and I have Kelly Adams here from the Spokane DSA talking about, well, the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America. Now, every 20 after my 20 minute mark stuff, I usually, and I'm going to do it again today, tell you what's going on. And all these events come from saveusa.me, or most of them anyways. Of course, every Monday, Mikey Mondays, April, that was yesterday, 3 to 4 p.m. at Division and Ruby, the V Median in front of Wendy's. It'll be happening again next Monday. The Spokane Indivisibles protest team. That happened this morning. It'll happen again, I'm assuming, next Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at the Regal Footbridge located at 3rd and Regal. Bring signs, flags, or help hold up letters. Everyone is welcome. Indivisible Tuesday. That's at 3:30 p.m. Oh, going on right now, probably. Learn how you can empower your loved ones and show up on May Day and make an economic impact across the country. I would assume that's probably not going to be happening next Tuesday. Friday is May Day. Yeah. No work, no school, no shopping. All day. It's a day of economic disruption. And that's going to be at the Clock Tower, perhaps, or the Wagon at Riverfront Park at 4 p.m. And so that'll be one of the things happening out. Get the ice out Wednesdays, April 29th. That's corner of Washington and Cataldo at the ICE office. There's going to be a big mass calling April 29th at 5 p.m. May Day's, there's going to be a mass phone banking event. Again, you can go right to the website and check that out on, saveusa.me, M-E. What's that? So there's lots, you should go there for all the May Day stuff to kind of figure that out. But we're going to have, again, Friday, May 1st, the economic day of disruption. That is a biggie. That's a biggie. There'll be a rally down at Riverfront Park at 4 p.m. Say it's Saturday, and that's going to be Workers Over Billionaires, May 2nd, this Saturday at B.A. Clark Park. That's, you know, the corner of basically Garland and Division on the northwest corner. And there's going to be a postcard party. Yay! Monday, May 4th, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., the Spokane Valley Library. Check that out there. And I have this little book of poetry, well, written by my friend Nick the Beat, the Giant Beat. If you might have seen him, he's a giant beet with large leaves, and he does beet poetry. But he's got a little book of beet poetry called The Beatitudes, or Beatitude, and it's a zine. And for you can go to mavegriffith.com, check that out. And if you give, it costs $3 with free postage. But if you do it, all the proceeds are going to go directly to Spokane Pride, another nonprofit, just like we're a nonprofit, right? Okay, so you can, if you go to mavegriffith.com, you can scroll all the way down. You'll see a giant grotesque looking beat, something from Lost in Space looking, and you can check that out and then go there and give money or not, or just check it out. All right, that's it. We're back, and I'm talking to Kelly. Hello, Kelly. Welcome back.
Hello.
So good to see you. The DSA's core tenets include anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-imperialism, expanding democracy into workplaces, expanding the welfare state, and pursuing environmental justice through a Green New Deal. It's also a very pro-LGBTQ organization.
Yeah, and I've kind of discovered that firsthand because I didn't come out as trans until I was 48.
Okay.
And I'd already been in the DSA for a little while, and so that my journey is also kind of tied up with my journey in DSA.
Yeah.
Initially I was kind of an introvert, and I didn't like to do much. I mean, I played in bands and things, but you kind of hide behind the drummer or whatever,
right.
Especially as a bass player.
Yeah.
One thing I realized is that when I started to show my true self to the world, I had a lot more energy to be in front of people and to talk to people, because carrying that mask was exhausting.
It's a lot of bandwidth you burn up, and not just like staying hidden. And it's also like, oh, I'm not telling the truth about myself.
Yeah.
And then, like wrestling daily with the, what should I do? What am I going to do? And then you do it and everything's fine and it works out. Okay.
What does the world expect of me today?
So I hear you. I was the same way. I was really introverted. I think I've always been an introvert, but an introvert that worked hard to become an extrovert, sort of, I guess, but.
But I found suddenly a lot more energy in, talking to people, talking to strangers and tabling events. DSA, we've been, you mentioned the Say It Saturdays, we've been trying to show up there and table folks. We had a great No Kings 3 rally up at B.A. Clark Park. We were promoting a boycott with United Farm Workers.
The mushroom.
Yeah, Windmill grows. Farms mushrooms. Yeah.
How'd that go?
We got 300 or so pledges to boycott that product. And then the labor organizer for UFW called pretty much everybody who put their phone number on there and got 12 people to agree to speak to their produce manager, their local grocery store.
Wow.
And so now we're trying to put pressure on the, the distributors and the grocery stores to bring them to the table, basically.
Because
the workers voted to join UFW and the farm refuses to acknowledge that.
And if you go to the Spokane DSA, I suppose there's probably information if people want to.
Or the United Farm Workers website.
Are there Facebook presence too?
We do have a pretty good Facebook presence.
Yeah, you do.
That's probably the best way to find the links.
It's updated pretty frequently. I
I try to.
Are you the social media maven?
I don't know if maven is the right term. Lackey?
Yeah.
Bumbling fool?
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
No, you guys do a good job. I feel like
the Gen X are doing it.
I know.
They remember when the internet wasn't permanent.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Although it surprises me sometimes that I'll be the one with the technical knowledge. Like, really, this isn't supposed to be how it is.
It's handy, though, because I can bridge the folks that are a little bit older than me. I can bring them online.
Yeah.
We started, we're using keybase.io for our, internal chat. And I've got some of the older folks hip to that now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting, but it's tough because, email and Facebook are still kind of the lingua franca.
Not to get into stereotypes too much, but don't you find, a lot of trans women are really know their technology?
Yes. I don't know why that is.
I don't know either. And, it's funny because I was part of a group
stereotype.
And I think it's the same thing with art stuff because I'm an artist too. And I had made friends with a Columbus, Ohio fire captain. Mm. And she was an artist and she was also the editor for her union newsletter, which I was as well.
There we go.
And I just think, it's funny how we fall into these kind of helper things, but mm-hmm. they're like technical helper mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. I think there's another correlation there too. You mentioned computer science.
Yeah.
I think there's a strong correlation between computer stuff and musicians.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they're both finite systems. There's only 12
there's rules
notes.
To the
yeah,
system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's immutable rules and we operating in that kind of a
I think you're right. And I think there's rules in a way are truths, mm-hmm. I'll ask you before I spout off here. Why do you think trans people are so hated by these fascists? I mean, we were right out of the gates.
I mean,
it's sort of they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to get people to hate us.
Yeah.
What people really didn't care about us, but just hate us long enough for an election.
Yeah.
But why do you think it is?
Such a small minority.
I know.
I think saw the latest estimate is that there is as many trans people in the United States as there are sworn officers of the law.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so
handy.
We could maybe fight all the cops.
Or we could be the cops. that
would be... that would be...
Oh, there's plenty of trans cops, whether they're out or not.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they hate us because we tell the truth.
Mm.
I think that's always been what I keep coming back to, because you look at Trump, who could not tell the truth to save his life. And most of it is because it's embarrassing truths. Mm-hmm. It's just embarrassing. He says things, contradicts himself in the next sentence, can't keep things straight, but he is a dishonorable person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like trans people at the very core, not to paint everybody with broad brushstrokes, but we are honorable people in that we tell you the truth about ourselves, even though it's kind of an for me, with a religious background, it was a shameful truth or it was an embarrassing truth, or a weird truth that I knew I didn't want to make people feel ill at ease, but I had to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they don't get that. They don't get honor. They don't get people in Minnesota throwing themselves in front of ICE officers to protect people that they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that. Dishonorable
yeah.
people don't understand people who act honorably. And I think that's why trans people are at the top of their hit list. That's my theory.
Well, I think it's also clever marketing because if you're going to get people to kick down, you might as well pick a group that is small and already marginalized.
That might not even know anybody.
And appears to live secretly among us.
Yeah.
So you could never, and I think that's evidenced in a lot of the anti-trans laws, is that they're not oh, we can positively identify this person as trans, and so we're going to make this law about them. It's, well, if you think they're trans, then the law applies anyway. And
yeah, if they're a masculine looking cis woman,
yeah.
I mean, sorry, sister, you're going to jail.
Yeah. No, I know my partner, who is taller than I am and possibly broader shouldered. You know, she's gonna, as a cis woman, she's gonna have trouble.
Well, that's the thing. I don't, you know, what do you have any, you know, we're broadcasting into Idaho right now over the radio. I mean, that's a real thing. You know, if we were to use the ladies' room, we could face felany charges starting July 1st.
Yeah. It's scary. I think about going to visit my mom in Genesee.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to stop somewhere, what does that mean? You know, I always stop at that one rest stop on 195 there.
Yeah.
But what does that mean now? And I have a non-binary kiddo, and what does that mean for them when we go down and visit Bessemer?
Yeah, and I just found out today, too, that if you renew your passport, you're going to get your original birth certificate gender marker on it now.
Somehow they've got the original.
Yeah, they were able to do, well, I don't know, I had to put in lots of paperwork to get my gender marker changed, and it was like back and forth, you know, with them.
It was pretty easy for me.
Yeah,
I need to renew my passport.
So I'm worried about that. Well, here's another thing, is you need to do it as soon as possible, because they're going to put Trump's picture on passports now to celebrate the 250th anniversary. It's like, if you have any doubt that we are living in a fascist state, they're putting the dear leader's picture on our passports now. You know, it's like, it's comical.
Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Camacho, president.
Yes, yeah, I know, right? Although Camacho had some redeeming qualities.
He did kind of figure out that the water was what the plants crave.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know, and he had some pizzazz.
Yeah, he did have some good style.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah.
I kind of want that bike that he had, that trike.
Oh, that was good.
It's like, yeah.
That was good. What kind of drew you to being in the DSA?
I was kind of drawn in by my partner. We both were really interested in Bernie when Bernie was running. Yeah. And then when he was kind of bounced out of the primary, we didn't really know what to do. And we ran into some folks that were trying to start a DSA chapter in Spokane, and we worked with them, and mostly my partner. I was what they called a paper member, where she was just like, well, here, you join and pay dues. You don't have to do anything, though. You don't have to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to, you know, make any decisions. And I said, okay, yeah, whatever. And, you know, and she wrote the parts of the original charter and got all that stuff and filed the, you know, because we're a 504.
So you can do political advocacy.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit with the Secretary of State of Washington, and she filed all that stuff. And then a couple years ago, we were doing elections, and they needed somebody to be the membership coordinator. And I thought, well, I can do that. You know, it's, you go to a couple Zoom meetings a month, not a big deal. And that was like right before I came out to myself. Mm-hmm. And then, so I did that for a year. And then I was like, this is pretty cool. I think I'm going to run as a co-chair. And Spokane DSA, like you mentioned earlier, or DSA in general, is very LGBTQ friendly. And one of our bylaws in our chapter is that one of our co-chairs, we have two co-chairs, one of them has to not be a cis white man.
Oh, interesting.
And so I ran for a co-chair. And then again this year, or last year in June. So I think we're going to do elections in July again this year. And we don't really have term limits, but I'd really like to see somebody else step up.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of work.
It's been fun and it's been rewarding, but it's been a lot of hair pulling.
Yeah.
And arm breaking.
Oh, yeah. You were wounded in action. You need a purple heart from the USA.
Yeah.
So you have the structure as co-chairs, and then I would imagine there's a secretary, and then a treasurer.
And then the membership coordinator. And then this year we also elected, well, it's not really elected, we kind of put forth somebody to be a solidarity captain because we were starting to do more labor stuff, and that's kind of a special branch. So that's what's gotten us plugged in with like Starbucks Workers United and United Farm Workers and all the local unions.
I love these coalitions. I was involved in the Spokane Alliance for quite a while, and that was religious organizations and labor unions primarily, and it was pretty cool. Going back to Bernie, I think Bernie talked the truth, and he's talked bold stuff, and I think that's the Dems' problem. Is they look at, they don't take the lesson from Trump that he said awful things, horrific things, but they were bold things. And I think that people forget about that. And for me, my number one issue right now is justice. I think that anybody running for office, that needs to be the number one thing, to take the money from the people who took it from us and to put them in jail or worse. I mean, that has to be...
spread it back around.
Yeah, that has to be... We can't fix
that's anything. That's the only way trickle-down economics works.
It's the only way, we're on the national stage. Who's ever going to trust us again? Every 4 years, we can go nuts again, and 30% of the people who hold their votes apparently count more than the rest of ours, that they can call the shots again. And we just have another nut job as president, and it's like no country can trust us again till we have justice.
We've done irreparable harm with all of the soft power that we...
Yeah, it's gone.
They've done good with in the world.
Yeah, it's gone now. I mean, we don't have allies.
I was watching a piece on Bo the Fifth Column about how the EU is like looking to how are they going to defend NATO without the US because they can't rely on us.
Absolutely not. Yeah, we are. That's done.
Yeah.
And even if tomorrow,
my entire life.
If tomorrow we get a Democratic president and everything got thrown out, it's still like this specter of the unthinkable can happen because people who vote are as dishonorable as the person they voted for, or just not
easily
intelligent.
Swayed,
who knows? Easily swayed. It's like, So I think that's what I like about the DSA and other organizations is that right now you find people who are just so hopeless and so sad and so, I never thought this would happen to America, et cetera. But for me, I'm like, man, this is a gift because they're telling us who they are. Things have never been more clear cut. There's no like gray areas anymore. The lines are pretty clearly drawn.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then, like this recent, the guy who had the guns up in the, up at Trump's...
The press court, the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Yeah. What was his name? Oh, I have it here someplace.
From
anyways,
California, I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, Christian Cole Allen. Cole Allen. But I put Christian because he had like a Christian manifesto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his manifesto is basically, as a Christian... I'm going to do this, but I know that now that for me, I would not agree with that as logic, but he thought that, as a person, I can personally turn the other cheek, but I'm not going to turn the cheek for people who are oppressing other people, which I have problems with that too. I'm a very much a nonviolent practitioner, but there's a frustration when judicially you can't do anything. Yeah. When a dictator owns the justice system, so there is no justice, and we have to wait 2 years for an election where maybe we, if we have an election, and if that election is even fair, there may be a chance to stop this horrible thing that's happening. I can see that people feeling frustrated. So one of the ways you can take out that frustration is by getting involved and going to one of these protests, or looking into the DSA.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're having a big May Day event downtown. It's either at the Red Wagon or the Rotary Fountain, actually.
Okay, so
they're setting up for Bloomsday, I guess.
Yeah. So that's right. That's a Sunday. So So let's talk a little bit about the this May Day. How can people participate? Let's say they can't go down to the rally downtown, but they still want to participate. How can they participate?
Well, I would say reach out to your neighborhood community organization. So what our kind of our working theme is, we want to build resilience for the working class through mutual aid and community organizing, so that we can, you know, in 2028 do a general strike. We want to get folks to get to know their neighbors and realize, oh, you know, this neighbor is growing chickens and I've got some extra, you know, chicken scraps I can give them, and maybe they'll give me some eggs and that kind of thing. And that's what we want to promote. So I would invite people to find those kind of local, you know, get involved in your neighborhood council. Exactly. Yeah.
And so, and also, like, there's a bit of a strike component to it, in that they're asking people not to go to work if you can, or not to go to school, or
not to buy
not to buy anything. Yeah. And I think that's the tough one, right? I mean, and it's funny because those economic things do have an impact. I mean, like when I canceled my my Hulu account over Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, that a bunch of other people did that, and that was it. Jimmy Kimmel was back. I have not. I had got rid of Amazon Prime. I you know, I don't have that anymore, so I don't buy stuff
from
Amazon.
Need to get there.
It's tough.
I'm so reliant.
It's really tough. It is, and they've built these systems, but it's like I can't. Every time that I would give to Amazon, unless I, for a while I was kind of saying, well, for my art and stuff, if I make things that basically are against the fascists, then I'll use Amazon for that. But that got to be like too much of a carte blanche.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you
know, maybe some more pain.
And Amazon now in the AI world, there's so much AI slop products on
that
are basically just remaking other people's art. It's really a shame.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And it's, you know, it's getting people hurt because they're like AI writing books about foraging for mushrooms that aren't accurate.
I know.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, or cooking your turkey for 2 hours at 200 degrees.
Flash fry your turkey in the microwave.
Yeah, there's all sorts of horror stories, and there's going to be more. And, you know, people building data centers that that taxpayers are basically funding, you know, so they can have cheap electricity for these data centers. And then we'll just charge a little more of the consumers.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to, you'll be happy to pay that until you don't have a job anymore because AI took your job away. But But so all these things that are depressing, you can get. So how would, we mentioned this before, but we're going to mention it again before we go. How do people find out more about the DSA, about May Day, about if you're an LGBTQ person, why maybe you might want to flex your political muscles being involved with the DSA? How would people find out more?
I would check out DSAUSA.org. I would also look at Spokane DSA on Facebook and Instagram, both the same handle. We're pretty vocal there. And, you know, get on a mailing list, get out there and meet your neighbors. Cause I think that's the other, you know, you'd asked me earlier about the you know, why did they choose trans people as the like wedge issue? And I think it's to sow division, and it's to make people feel isolated. And the only way to combat that is get together.
Yeah.
Meet your neighbors, meet your, you know, the people you're riding the bus with or standing in line at the Chipotle with.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, once you start to meet those folks and you see them as human and they see you as human, it's a lot harder to think of them as the boogeyman.
That's absolutely.
Or boogeywoman or boogie person.
Boogie person, yeah. I think that's absolutely true in so many ways because, you know, especially as trans people, there's not, a lot of people don't know a trans person. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's getting to be more common that people feel safe enough to come out. Although I guess it's kind of slowing down now because people are feeling less safe. But that's one of the things, you know, I always, you know, we should be able to live our lives however we want.
Yeah.
But I always feel like I have a responsibility to be I always had this responsibility anyway, to be a good neighbor, to take care of my neighbors, mm-hmm. to do good things for people and, you know, hopefully entertain them and things like that. And I think that that's an important thing to do. And even if you aren't LGBTQ, you know, to say that, well, you know, when somebody starts, I love when somebody feels safe enough to me around me and they don't know me to start talking about how much they love President Trump, you know, and then that's an entryway for a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, we were on the coast and we were at the small ice cream shop. It was right after, you know, you can't even really call it an assassination attempt. I mean, the guy was on a different floor, never got close to him.
Who knew you could Naruto run through security?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's ridiculous. But anyway, there was a guy at a gelato place, and he says to the proprietor, he's like, well, they tried to do it again to him. They tried to assassinate our president or something. And then the proprietor didn't say anything, but then he kept at his Trump love.
Uh-huh.
And the proprietor said, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And, you know, and it's funny because people live in their silos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he may not have even ever, you know, he was going to watch Fox News. He's going to find that everybody thinks the same way he does.
Yeah.
So you meet somebody who's dishing up ice cream and says, I don't think the same way you do. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your ice cream. You know, I mean, that's a gift. All right. Well, so that concludes this show. Thanks, Kelly, for being here so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Oh, we'll do it again. We'll do it again.
Awesome. I'm always available.
All right. All right. And thank you, my listeners, for listening in, and I appreciate you listening. And you can go, of course, to KYRS.org and hear this show or hear any show you want on the archives. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and or 92.3 FM.
There are towns in Texas named New Deal, Fair Play, Progresso, Utopia, and even Buck Naked. But what you won't find is any town called Moderate Texas. I offer this curiosity to the moneyed powers and milquetoast party leaders who keep insisting that Democrats must moderate their progressive policies, abandon their egalitarian commitments, and become more, well, more corporate. Hello? Today's majority hates the everyday arrogance, avarice, and abuse that corporate supremacy has unleashed on workers, consumers, local businesses, family farmers, the poor, the sick, the different, our environment, and democracy itself. The time when captains of industry were admired is long gone. Today's billionaire prigs, such as Bezos, Musk, and Zuckerberg, are clownishly greedy and foolish, becoming so reviled that they can't go out in public. As journalist Perry Bacon points out in New Republic, even moderate Democrats aren't moderate anymore. Around 70% of them, he reports, bemoan the fact that party leaders are, quote, too timid in taxing the rich, taxing corporations, and cracking down on companies that break the law. Polls aside, you can find out how moderates and even conservatives feel about moving the party of the people to the middle of the road by visiting rural areas in Virginia, Illinois, Texas, or other states being invaded by autocratic corporate billionaires trying to usurp vast amounts of land, water, and energy for their AI data centers. Locals are furious at this plutocratic power grab and wondering if anyone will stand with them in full-force populist rebellion against the profiteers. This is Jim Hightower saying, we're in a 1932 moment. Far from becoming a corporate kiss-up party, people want and need Democrats to be the kick-ass party. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford 88.1 FM 92.3 FM Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From Toronto, this is Democracy Now!
31 years after the first COP on climate change, global CO2 emissions have increased by at least 65%. It could be said that we have failed, but we would also like to think that we are precisely at a moment of opportunity when the window has not yet closed.
Environment ministers from more than 50 countries are gathering in Santa Marta, Colombia, for a major summit on transitioning away from fossil fuels. But the United States, Russia, and China are skipping the summit. We'll speak to South African climate activist Kumi Naidu, president of the Fossil Fuel Treaty Initiative. Plus, as we broadcast from Toronto, we'll speak to Avi Lewis, recently elected head of the NDP, the new Democratic